Letter to Sir Walter Raleigh. A letter of the author's expounding his whole intention in the course of this work, which, for that it giveth great light to the reader, for the better understanding is hereunto annexed. To the right noble and valorous Sir Walter Raleigh, Knight. _Low, Warden of the St. Anneries, and Her Majesty's Lieutenant of the County of Cornwall. _Sir. Knowing how doubtfully all allegories may be constructed, and this book of mine, which I have entitled _The Fairy Queen_, being a continued allegory, or dark conceit, I have thought good, as well for avoiding of jealous opinions and misconstructions, as also for your better light in reading thereof, being so, by you commanded, to discover unto you the general intention and meaning, which in the whole course thereof I have fashioned, without expressing of any particular purposes, or by accidents therein occasioned. The general end therefore of all the book, is to fashion a gentleman or noble person in virtuous and gentle discipline, which for that I conceived shall to be most plausible and pleasing, being colored with an historical fiction, the which the most part of men delight to read, rather for variety of matter than for profit of the ensample. I chose the histoire of King Arthur, as most fit for the excellency of his person, being made famous by many men's former works, and also furthest from the danger of envy, and suspicion of present time. In which I have followed all the antique poets historical, first Homer, who in the persons of Agamemnon and Ulysses hath ensampled a good governor and a virtuous man, the one in his _Ilias_, the other in his _Odysseus_, then Virgil, whose like intention was to do in the person of _Aeneas_, after him Ariosto comprised them both in his _Orlando_, and lately Tasso dissevered them again, and formed both parts in two persons, namely, that part which they in philosophy call _Ethis_, or virtues of a private man, colored in his _Rinaldo_, the other named _Politus_, in his _Godfredo_. By ensample of which excellent poets, I labored to portrait in Arthur, before he was king, the image of a brave knight, perfected in the 12 private moral virtues, as Aristotle hath devised, which if I find to be well accepted, I may be perhaps encouraged to frame the other part of politic virtues in his person, after he came to be king. To some I know this method will seem displeasant, which had rather have good discipline delivered plainly in way of precepts, or sermoned at large, as they use, than thus cloudily enwrapped in allegorical devises. But such, meseem, should be satisfied with the use of these days, seeing all things accounted by their shows, and nothing esteemed of, that is not delightful and pleasing to common sense. For this cause is Xenophon preferred before Plato, for that the one, in the exquisite depth of his judgment, formed a commune wealth, such as it should be, but the other, in the person of Cyrus and the Persians, fashioned a government, such as might best be, so much more profitable and gracious as doctrine by ensample than by rule. So have I labored to do in the person of Arthur, whom I conceive, after his long education by Timon, to whom he was by Merlin delivered to be brought up, so soon as he was born of the Lady Igraine, to have seen in a dream or vision the fairy queen, with whose excellent beauty ravished, he awaking, resolved to seek her out, and so, being by Merlin armed, and by Timon throughly instructed, he went to seek her forth in fairy land. In that fairy queen I mean _glory_ in my general intention, but in my particular I conceive the most excellent and glorious person of our sovereign the queen, and her kingdom in fairy land. And yet, in some places else, I do otherwise shadow her. For considering she beareth two persons, the one of a most royal queen or empress, the other of a most virtuous and beautiful lady, this latter part in some places I do express in Belphoebe, fashioning her name according to your own excellent conceit of Cynthia, too, Phoebe and Cynthia being both names of Diana. So in the person of Prince Arthur the first set forth magnificence in particular, which virtue, for that, according to Aristotle and the rest, it is the perfection of all the rest, and containeth in it them all, therefore in the whole course I mention the deeds of Arthur applicable to the virtue, which I write of in that book. But of the 12 other virtues I make 12 other knights the patrons, for the more variety of the historic, of which these three books contain three. The first, of the Knight of the Red Cross, in whom I express holiness, the second of Sir Guyon, in whom I set forth temperance, the third of Britomartis, a lady knight, in whom I picture chastity. But because the beginning of the whole work seemeth abrupt and as depending upon other antecedents, it needs that ye know the occasion of these three knights' several adventures. For the method of a poet historical is not such as of an historiographer. For an historiographer discourseth of affairs orderly as they were done, accounting as well the times as the actions, but a poet thrusteth into the middest, even where it most concerneth him, and there recoursing to the things forepast, and divining of things to come, maketh a pleasing analysis of all. The beginning therefore of my histoire, if it were to be told by an historiographer, should be the 12th book, which is the last, where I devise that the fairy queen kept her annual feast 12 days, upon which 12 several days, the occasions of the 12 several adventures happened, which being undertaken by 12 several knights, are in these 12 books severally handled and discoursed. The first was this. In the beginning of the feast, there presented himself a tall clownish young man, who falling before the queen of fairies desired a boon, as the manner then was, which during that feast she might not refuse, which was that he might have the achievement of any adventure, which during that feast should happen, that being granted, he rested himself on the fjord, unfit through his rusticity for a better place. Soon after entered a fair lady in mourning weeds, riding on a white ossa, with a dwarf behind her leading a warlike steed, that bore the armor of a knight, and his spear in the dwarf's hand. She falling before the queen of fairies, complained that her father and mother, an ancient king and queen, had been by an huge dragon many years shut up in a brazen castle, who then suffered them not to issue, and therefore besought the fairy queen to assign her some one of her knights to take on him that exploit. Presently that clownish person upstarting, desired that adventure, whereat the queen much wondering, and the lady much gainsaying, yet he earnestly importuned his desire. In the end the lady told him, that unless that armor which she brought would serve him, that is, the armor of a Christian man specified by St. Paul, via fees, that he could not succeed in that enterprise, which being forthwith put upon him with due furnitures thereunto, he seemed the goodliest man in all that company, and was well liked of the lady. And eftersoons taking on him knighthood, and mounting on that strong courser, he went forth with her on that adventure, where beginneth the first book, viz. A gentle knight was pricking on the plain, etc. The second day there came in a palmer bearing an infant with bloody hands, whose parents he complained to have been slain by an enchantress called Acrasia, and therefore craved of the fairy queen, to appoint him some knight to perform that adventure, which being assigned to Sir Guyon, he presently went forth with the same palmer, which is the beginning of the second book and the whole subject thereof. The third day there came in a groom, who complained before the fairy queen, that a vile enchanter, called Busy Rain, had in hand a most fair lady, called Amaretta, whom he kept in most grievous torment. Whereupon Sir Scudamore, the lover of that lady, presently took on him that adventure. But being unable to perform it by reason of the hard enchantments, after long sorrow, in the end met with Britomartis, who succored him, and rescued his love. But by occasion hereof, many other adventures are intermeddled, but rather as accidents than intendments. As the love of Britomart, the overthrow of Marinel, the misery of Florimel, the virtuousness of Belphoebe, and many the like. Thus much, sir, I have briefly overrun to direct your understanding to the well-head of the history, that from thence gathering the whole intention of the conceit, ye may as in a handful gripe all the discourse, which otherwise may happily seem tedious and confused. So humbly craving the continuance of your honorable favor towards me, and th eternal establishment of your happiness, I humbly take leave. Yours most humbly affectionate. E.D.M. Spencer. 23 January, 1589. _ to the right noble and valorous knight _ Sir Walter Raleigh. _ Lord Wardian of the St. Honorius, and Leifanont of Cornywiley _. To thee that art the summer's nightingale, thy sovereign goddess's most dear delight, why do I send this rustic madrigale, that may thy tuneful ear unseason quite? Thou only fit this argument to write in whose high thoughts pleasure hath built her bower, and dainty love learned sweetly to end it. My rhymes I know unsavory and sore, to taste the streams, that, like a golden shower, flow from thy fruitful head, of thy love's praise, fitter perhaps to thunder martial stone, when so thee list thy lofty muse to raise, yet, till that thou thy poem wilt make known, let thy fair Cynthia's praises be thus rudely shown. E.S. Canto I. The patron of true holiness fuller or doth defeat, hypocrisy him to entrap doth to his home entreat. I. A gentle knight degrees was pricking on the plain, I clad in mighty armor and silver shielda, wherein old dints of deep wounds did remain, the cruel marks of many a bloody field, yet armor till that time did he never wield, his angry steed did chide his foaming bit, as much disdaining to the curb to yield, full jolly knight he seemed, and fair did sit, as one for knightly giusts and fierce encounters fit. 2. And on his breast a bloody cross he bore, the dear remembrance of his dying lord, for whose sweet sake that glorious badge he wore, and dead as living ever him adored, upon his shield the like was also scored, for sovereign hope, degree which in his help he had, right faithful true he was in deed and word, but of his cheer did seem too solemn sad, Yet nothing did he dread, but ever was dread. 3. Upon a great adventure he was bond, that greatest Gloriana degrees to him gave, that greatest glorious queen of fairy land, to win him worship, and her grace to have, which of all earthly things he most did crave, and ever as he rode, his heart did earn to prove his puissance in battle brave upon his foe, and his new force to learn, upon his foe, a dragon degrees horrible and stern. 4. A lovely lady degrees rode him fair beside, upon a lowly assa more white than snow, yet she much whiter, but the same did hide under a veil, that wimpled was full low, and over all a black stole she did throw, as one that inly mourned, so was she sad, and heavy sat upon her palfrey slow, seemed in heart some hidden care she had, and by her in a line a milky white lamb she lad. V. So pure and innocent, as that same lamb, she was in life and every virtuous lore, and by descent from royal lineage came of ancient kings and queens, that had of yore their scepters stretched from east to western shore, and all the world in their subjection held, till that infernal fiend with full uproar forewasted all their land, and them expelled, whom to avenge, she had this night from far compelled. Fi. Behind her far away a dwarf degrees did lag, that lassie seemed in being ever last, or wearied with bearing of her bag of needments at his back. Thus as they passed, the day with clouds was sudden overcast, and angry Jove an hideous storm of rain did pour into his lemon's lap so fast, that every white to shroud it did constrain, and this fair couple eke to shroud themselves were fain. 7. In first to seek some covert nigh at hand, a shady grove degrees not far away they spied, that promised eyed the tempest to withstand, whose lofty trees I clad with summer's pride did spread so broad, that heaven's light did hide, not perceivable with power of any Shtara, and all within were paths and alleys wide, with footing worn, and leading inward far, fair harbour that them seems, so in they entered are. 8. And forth they pass a, with pleasure forward led, joying to hear the bird's sweet harmony, which there enshrouded from the tempest dread, seemed in their song to scorn the cruel sky. Much can they praise the tree so straight and high, the sailing pine, degree the cedar proud and tall, the vine prop elm, the poplar never dry, degree the builder oak, degree sole king of forests all, the aspine good for staves, the cypress funeral, degree. 9. The laurel, degree meet of mighty conquerors and poets sage, the fir that weepeth still, degree the willow degrees worn of forlorn paramours, the oak degrees obedient to the bender's will, the birch for shafts, the sallow for the mill, the myriad degrees sweet bleeding and the bitter wound, the warlike beech, degree the ash for nothing ill, degree the fruitful olive, and the platane round, the carver holm, degree the maple sealed him inward sound. X. Led with delight, they thus beguile the way, until the blustering storm is overblown, when weaning to return, whence they did stray, they cannot find that path, which first was shown, but wander to and fro in ways unknown, furthest from end then, when they nearest ween, that makes them doubt their wits be not their own, so many paths, so many turnings seen, that which of them to take, in diverse doubt they been. 11. At last resolving forward still to fare, till that some end they fiend day or in or out, that path they take, that beaten seemed most bare, and like to lead the labyrinth about, which when by track they hunted had throughout, at length it brought them to a hollow cave amid the thickest woods. The champion stout eftsoons dismounted from his courser brave, and to the dwarf a while his needless spur he gave. 12. Be well aware, quoth then that Lady Mila, least sudden mischief ye too rash provoke, the danger hid, the place unknown and wild, breeds dreadful doubts, oft fire is without smoke, and peril without show, therefore your stroke, Sir Knight, withhold, till further trial made. Ah lady, said he, shame were to revoke the forward footing for an hidden shade, Verta gives herself light, through dark and ease for to wade. 13. Yea but, quoth she, the peril of this place I better wot than you, though now too late to wish you back return with full disgrace, yet wise Dome warns, while list foot is in the gate, to stay the step, ere forced to retreat. This is the wandering wood, degree this her hour's den, a monster vile, whom God and man does hate, therefore I rede beware. Fly fly, quoth then the fearful dwarf, this is no place for living men. 14. But full of fire and greedy hardiment, the youthful knight could not for aught be stayed, but forth unto the darksome hole he went, and looked in, his glistering armor made a little glooming light, much like a shade, by which he saw the ugly monster degrees plain, half like a serpent horribly displayed, but father half did woman's shape retain, most loathsome, filthy, foul, and full of vile disdain. Degree. 15. And as she lay upon the dirty ground, her huge long tila her den all overspread, yet was in knots and many bouts upwound, pointed with mortal sting. Of her there bred degrees 1,000 young ones, which she daily fed, sucking upon her poisonous dugs, each one of sundry shapes, yet all ill-favored, soon as that uncouth light upon them shone, into her mouth they crept, and sudden all were gone. 16. Their dam upstart, out of her den afraid, and rushed forth, hurling her hideous tila about her cursed head, whose folds displayed were stretched now forth at length without entrail. She looked about, and seeing one in mail armed a point, degree sought back to turn again, for light she hated as the deadly bale, a wand in desert darkness to remain, where plain none might her see, nor she see any plain. 17. Which when the valiant elf degrees perceived, he leapt as lion fierce upon the flying prey, and with his trenchant blade her boldly kept from turning back, and forced her to stay, there within rag she loudly gone to bray, and turning fierce, her speckled tila advanced, threatening her angry sting, him to dismay, who not aghast his mighty hand and hunced, the stroke down from her head unto her shoulder glanced. 18. Much daunted with that dint, her sense was dazed, yet kindling rage, herself she gathered round, and all at once her beastly body raised with doubled forces high above the ground, though wrapping up her wreathed stern around, leapt fierce upon his shield, and her huge tren all suddenly about his body wound, that hand or foot to stir he strove in vain, God help of the man so wrapped in or hours endless tren. 19. His lady sad to see his sore constrained, cried out, Now sir knight, show what ye be, add faith unto your force, and be not faint, strangle her, else she sure will strangle thee. That when he heard, in great perplexity, his gall did great for grief degrees and high disdain, and knitting all his force got one hand free, wherewith he gripped her gorge with so great pain, that soon to loose her wicked bands did her constrain. 20. Therewith she spewed out of her filthy maw a flout of poison horrible and black, full of great lumps of flesh and gobbets raw, which stung so vildly, that it forced him slack his grasping hold, and from her turn him back, her vomit full of books degrees and papers was, with loathly frogs and toads, which eyes did lackey, and creeping sought way in the weedy graw, her filthy par break all the place defiled has. 21. As when old father Nilus degrees gins to swell with timely pride above the Egyptian veil, his fatty waves do fertile slime outwell, and overflow each plain and lowly dale, but when his later spring gins to avail, huge heaps of mud he leaves, wherein there breed 10,000 kindes of creatures, partly male and partly female of his fruitful seed, such ugly monstrous shapes elsewhere may no man read. 22. The same so sore annoyed has the knight, that well nigh choked with the deadly stinky, his forces fail, ne can no longer fight. Whose courage when the fiend perceived to shrinky, she poured forth out of her hellish sink her fruitful curse spawn of serpents small, deformed monsters, foul, and black as Inca, with swarming all about his legs did crawl, and him encumbered sore, but could not hurt at all. 23. As gentle shepherd degrees in sweet eventide, when ruddy Phoebus gins to welk in west, high on an hill, his flock to view and wide, marks which do bite their hasty supper best, a cloud of cumbrous gnats do him molest, all striving to infix their feeble stings, that from their annoyance he nowhere can rest, but with his clownish hands their tender wings he brusheth oft, and oft doth mar their murmurings. 24. Thus ill bestead, degree and fearful more of shame, than of the certain peril he stood in, half furious unto his foe he came, resolved in mind all suddenly to win, or soon to lose, before he once would lin and struck at her with more than manly force, that from her body full of filthy sin he raft her hateful head without remorse, a stream of coal black blood forth gushed from her course. 25. Her scattered brood, degree soon as their parent dear they saw so rudely falling to the ground, groaning full deadly, all with troublous fear, gathered themselves about her body round, weening their wonted entrance to have found at her wide mouth, but being there withstood they flocked all about her bleeding wound, and sucked up their dying mother's blood, making her death their life, and eke her hurt their good. 26. That detestable sight him much amazed, to see th unkindly imps, of heaven accursed, devour their dam, on whom also he gazed, having all satisfied their bloody thirst, their bellies swollen he saw with fullness burst, and bowels gushing forth, well worthy end of such as drunk all her life, the which them nursed, degree now needeth him no longer labor spend, his foes have slain themselves, with whom he should contend. Degree. 27. His lady seeing all that caused, from far approached and hast to greet his victory, and said, Fair knight, born under happy Shtara, degree who see your vanquished foes before you lie, Well worthy be you of that armory, degree wherein ye have great glory vaunted at this day, and proved your strength on a strong enemy, your first adventure, many such I pray, and henceforth ever wish that like succeed it may. Degree. 28. Then mounted he upon his steed again, and with the lady backward sought to wend, that path he kept which beaten was most plain, ne ever would to any byway bend, but still did follow one unto the end, the which at last out of the wood them brought. So forward on his way, with God to friend degree he passed forth, and new adventure sought, long way he travelled, before he heard of aught. 29. At length they cons to meet upon the way an aged sire, degree in long black weeds eye clad, his feet all bare, his beard all hoary grey, and by his belt his book he hanging had, sober he seemed, and very sagely sad, and to the ground his eyes were lowly bent, simple in show, and void of malice bad, and all the way he prayed, as he went, and often knocked his breast, as one that did repent. 30. He fair the knight saluted, loud and low, who fair him quitted, as that courteous was, and after asked him, if he did know of strong adventures, which abroad did pa. Ah my dear Sine, quoth he, how should, alas, silly old man, that lives in hidden cell, bidding his beads all day for his trespass, tidings of war and worldly trouble tell. With holy father sits not with such things to mell. 31. But if of Donger which hereby doth dwell, and homebred evil ye desire to hear, of a strong man I can you tidings tell, that wasteth all this country far and near. Of such, said he, I chiefly do inquire, and shall you well reward to show the place, in which that wicked wight his days doth wear, for to all knighthood it is full disgrace, that such a cursed creature lives so long a space. 32. Far hence, quoth he, in wasteful wilderness his dwelling is, by which no living wight may ever pass a, but thorough great distress. Now, sighed the lady, draweth toward night, and well I wot, that of your later fight ye all four wearied be, for what so strong, but wanting rest will also want of might. The sooner that measures heaven all day long, at night doth bait his steeds the ocean waves among. 33. Then with the sooner take, sir, your timely rest, and with new day new work at once begin, untroubled night they say gives counsel best. Right well sir knight ye have advised been, quoth then that aged man, the way to win is wisely to advise, now day is spent, therefore with me ye may take up your in degrees for this same night. The knight was well content, so with that godly father to his home they went. 34. A little lowly hermitage it was, down in a dale, hard by a forest's side, far from resort of people, that did pie and travel to and fro, a little wide degrees there was an holy chapel edified, wherein the ermit duly wont to say his holy things each morn and eventide, thereby a Christ-tall stream did gently play, which from a sacred fountain welled forth alway. 35. Arrived there, the little house they fill, ne loca for entertainment, where none was, rest is their feast, and all things at their will, the noblest mind the best contentment has. With fair discourse the evening so they pa, for the old man of pleasing words had store, and well could file his tongue as smooth as glass, he told of saint and popes, and evermore he stroud an underscore Ave Mary underscore degree after and before. 36. The drooping night thus creepeth on them fast, and the sad humor degrees loading their eyelids, as messenger of Morpheus degrees on them cast sweet slumbering dia, the which to sleep them biddis. Unto their lodgings then his guesties he riddis, where when all drowned in deadly sleep he finds, he to this study goes, and there amidis his magic books and artes degrees of sundry kindis, he seeks out mighty charm, to trouble sleepy Mendez. 37. Then choosing out few words most horrible, with which and other spells like terrible, he bade awake black Pluto's grisly dame, degree and cursed heaven and spake reproachful shame of highest God, the Lord of life and light, a bold bad man, that dared to call by name great Gorgon, degree prince of darkness and dead night, at which Cocytus degrees quakes, and Styx is put to flight. 38. And forth he called out of deep darkness dread legions of sprites, degree the which like little flies fluttering about his ever-damned head, await whereto their service he applies, to aid his friends, or fray his enemies, of those he chose degrees out too, the falsest too, oh, and fittest for to forge true-seeming lies, the one of them he gave a message to, the other by himself state other work to do. 39. He making speedy way through spurst air, and through the world of waters wide and deep, to Morpheus' house doth hastily repair, amid the bowels of the earth full steep, and lo, where dawning day doth never peep, his dwelling is, their teethis degrees his wet bed doth ever wash, and Cynthia degrees still doth steep in silver deer his ever drooping head, while sad night over him her mantle black doth spread. XL. Whose double gates degrees he findeth locked fast, the one fair framed of burnished ivory, the other all with silver overcast, and wakeful dog as before them far do lie, watching to banish care their anime, who oft is wont to trouble gentle sleep. By them the sprite doth pass and quietly, and unto Morpheus comes, whom drowned deep in drowsy fit he finds, of nothing he takes keep. XLI. And more, to lulla him in his slumber soft, degree a trickling stream from high rock tumbling down, and ever drizzling rain upon the loft, mixed with a murmuring winda, much like the sound of swarming bees, did cast him in a swoon, no other noise, nor people's troublous cries, as still or wanton o'er the walled town, might there be heard, but careless a quiet lies, wrapped in eternal silence far from enemies. 42. The messenger approaching to him spake, but his wast words returned to him in vain, so sound he slept, that naught mought him awake. Then rudely he him thrust, and pushed with pain whereat he gone to stretch, but he again shook him so hard, that forced him to speak. As one then in a dream, whose drier brine degrees his toast with troubled sights and fancies weaker, he mumbled soft, but would not all degrees his silence break. 43. The sprite then gone more boldly him to wake, and threatened unto him the dreaded name of Hecate degrees, whereat he gone to quake, and lifting up his lumpish head, with blame half angry asked him, for what he came. Hither, quoth he, me Archimago sent, he that the stubborn sprites can wisely tame, he bids thee to him send for his intend a fitfall stream, that can delude the sleeper sent. Degree. 44. The god obeyed, and, calling forth straightway a diverse stream out of his prison dark, delivered it to him, and down did lay his heavy head, devoid of careful cark, whose senses all were straight benumbed and stark. He back returning by the ivory door a, remounted up as light as cheerful lark, and on his little winges the dream he bore in hast unto his lord, where he him left afore. 45. Who all this while with charm and hidden artes, had made a lady of that other sprite, and framed of liquid air her tender partes so lively, and so like in all men's sight, that weaker sense it could have ravished quite, the maker self, for all his wondrous wit, was now beguiled with so goodly sight, her all in whitey clad, and over it cast a black stole, most like to seem degrees for unifit. 46. Now when it'll dream was to him brought, unto the elfin knight he bade him fly, where he slept soundly void of a vil thought, and with false shows abuse his fantasy, in sort as he him schooled privily, and that new creature, born without her due, degree full of the maker's guile, with usage sly he taught to imitate that lady true, whose semblance she did carry under feigned hue. 47. Thus well instructed, to their work they hast, and coming where the knight in slumber lay, the one upon his hearty head implast and made him dream of love's and lustful play, that nigh his manly heart did melt away, bathed in wanton bliss and wicked joy, then seemed him his lady by him lay, and to him plain, how that false-winged boy, her chaste heart had subdued, to learn dame pleasure's toy. 48. And she herself of beauty sovereign queen, fair Venus degrees seemed unto his bed to bring her, whom he waking evermore did ween, to be the chastest flower, that a did spring on earthly branch, the daughter of a king, now a loose leman to vile service bound, and eke the graces degrees seemed all to sing, underscore hymen io hymen underscore degree dancing all around, whilst freshest flora degrees her with evie girl uncrowned. 49. In this great passion of unwanted lust, or wanted fear of doing aught amiss, he started up, as seeming to mistrust some secret ill, or hidden foe of his, lo there before his face his lady is, under Blake still hiding her baited hook, and as half blushing offered him to kiss, with gentle blandishment and lovely loca, most like that virgin true, which for her knight him took. L. All clean dismayed to see so uncouth sight, and half enraged at her shameless guise, he thought half slain her in his fierce despite, but hasty heat tempering with sufferance wise, he stayed his hand, and gone himself advised to prove his sense, degree and tempt her feigned truth. Wringing her hands in woman's piteous wise, though can she weep, degree to stir up gentle ruth, both for her noble blood, and for her tender youth. Lee. And said, ah sir, my liege lord and my love, shall I accuse the hidden cruel fate, and mighty causes wrought in heaven above, or the blind god, degree that doth me thus amate, for hoped love to win me certain hate? Yet thus perforce he bids me do, or die. Die is my due, yet rue my wretched state you, whom my heart avenging destiny hath made judge of my life or death indifferently. 52. Your own dear sake forced me at first to leave my father's kingdom. There she stopped with Teares, her swollen heart her speech seemed to bereave, and then again begun, My weaker year is captive to fortune and frail worldly fears, fly to your faith for succor and sure-eyed, let me not die in languor and long tiares. Why dame, quoth he, what hath ye thus dismayed? What phrase ye, that were wont to comfort me afraid? 53. Love of yourself, she sighed a, and dear constraint, lets me not sleep, but was the weary night in secret anguish and unpitied plaint, whiles you in careless asleep are drowned quite. Her doubtful words made that redoubted knight suspect her truth, yet since no untruth he knew, her fawning love with full disdain a full spy it he would not shend, but said, dear dame I rue, that for my sake unknown such grief unto you grew. Live. Assure yourself, it fell not all to ground, to grief for all so dear as life is to my heart, I deem your love, and hold me to you bound, ne let vain fears procure your needless smart, where cause is none, but to your rest depart. Not all content, yet seemed she to appease her mournful plaint, beguiled of her art, and fed with words that could not choose but please, so sliding softly forth, she turned as to her ease. LV. Long after lay he musing at her mood, much grieved to think he that gentle dame so light, for whose defense he was to shed his blood. At last, dull weariness of former fight having her rocked asleep his irksome sprite, that troublous dream gone freshly toss his brine, with bowers, and beds, and ladies' dear delight. But when he saw his labor all was vain, with that misformed sprite he back returned again. Canto 2. The guileful great enchanter parts the Red Cross Knight from truth, into whose stead fair falsehood steps, and works him woeful ruth. I. By this the northern wagoner Degrees had set his sevenfold team Degrees behind the steadfast Shtara, Degree that was in ocean waves yet never wet, but firm is fixed, and sendeth light from far to all that in the wide deep wandering are, and cheerful Chandi Clare Degrees with his note shrill had warned once, that Phoebus fiery Corre Degrees in haste was climbing up the eastern hill, full envious that night so long his room did fill. 2. When those accursed messengers of hell, that feigning dream, and that fair forged sprite Degrees came to their wicked maester, and gone tell their bootless pains, and ill succeeding night, who all enraged to see his skillful might deluded so, gone threatened hellish pain and sad Proserpine's wrath, them to affright. But when he saw his threatening was but vain, he cast about, and searched his baleful books again. 3. Eftsoons he took that miscreated fair, and that false other sprite, on whom he spread a seeming body of the subtle air, like a young squire, in loves and lusty bed his wanton days that ever loosely led, without regard of armor and dreaded fight, those two he took, and in a secret bed, covered with darkness and misteeming night, them both together laid, to join vain delight. 4. Forthwith he runs with feign faithful haste unto his guest, who after troublous sights and dreams, gone now to take more sound repast, whom suddenly he wakes with fearful frights, as one aghast with fiends or damned sprites, and to him calls, rise, rise, unhappy swain that here wex old in sleep, whiles wicked wights have knit themselves in Venus' shameful shen, come see where your false lady doth her honor stain. V. All in amaze he suddenly upstart with sword in hand, and with the old man went who soon him brought into a secret part where that false couple were full closely met in wanton lust and lewd embracement, which when he saw, he burnt with jealous fire, the eye of reason was with rage violent, and would have slain them in his furious ire, but hardly was restrained of that aged sire. Fie. Returning to his bed in torment great, and bitter anguish of his guilty sight, he could not rest, but did his stout heart eat, and washed his inward gall with deep despite, irksome of life, and too long lingering night. At last fair Hesperus Degrees in highest ski had spent his lamp and brought forth dawning light, then up he rose, and clad him hastily, the dwarf him brought his steed, so both away do fly. 7. Now when the rosy-fingered morning Degrees fair, weary of aged Tithon's Degrees saffron bed, had spread her purple robe through dewy air, and the high hills Titan Degrees discovered, the royal virgin shook off drowsy head, and rising forth out of her baser bow, looked for her knight, who far away was fled, and for her dwarf, that wont to wait each hour, then gone she wail and weep, to see that woeful stone. 8. And after him she rode with so much speed as her slow beast could make, but all in vain, for him so far had borne his light-foot steed, pricked with wrath and fiery fierce disdain, that him to follow was but fruitless pain, yet she her weary lamba would never rest, but every hill and dale, each wood and plain, did search, sore grieved in her gentle breast, he so ungently left her, whom she loved best. 9. But subtil Archimago, when his guests he saw divided into double parts, and Una wandering in woods and forests, th end of his drift, he praised his divilish arts, that had such might over true meaning hearts, yet rests not so, but other means doth make, how he may work unto her further smarts, for her he hated as the hissing snake, and in her many troubles did most pleasure take. X. He then devised a himself how to disguise, for by his mighty science he could take as many forms and shapes and seeming wise, as ever Proteus to himself could make, sometime a fowl, sometime a fish in lake, now like a fox, now like a dragon fell, that of himself he oft for fear would quake, and oft would fly away. Oh, who can tell the hidden power of herb and might of magic a spell? 11. But now seemed best the person to put on of that good knight, his late beguiled guest, in mighty armor he was eye clad and on, and silver shield, upon his coward breast a bloody cross, and on his craven crest a bunch of hairs discolored diversely, full jolly knight he seemed, and well addressed, and when he sate upon his courser free, Saint George himself ye would have deemed him to be. 12. But he the knight, whose semblant he did bear, the true Saint George, was wandered far away, still flying from his thoughts and jealous fear, will was his guide, and grief led him astray. At last him cons to meet upon the way a faithless Sarazine degrees all armed to point, in whose great shield was writ with letters gay underscore sans foy colon underscore full large of lembe and every joint he was, and cared not for God or man a point. 13. He had a fair companion degrees of his way, a goodly lady clad in scarlet red, purfled with gold and pearl of rich assay, and like a Persian mitre on her head she wore, with crowns and oaches garnished, the which her lavish lovers to her gave, her wanton palfrey always overspread with tinsel trappings, woven like a wave, whose bridle rung with golden bells and bosses brave. 14. With fair disport and courting dalliance she entertained her lover all the way, but when she saw the knight his spear advance, she soon left off her mirth and wanton play, and bade her knight address him to the fray, his foe was nigh at hand. He pricked with pride and hope to win his lady's heart that day, forth spurred fast, adown his courser side the red blow trickling stained the way, as he did ride. 15. The knight of the red cross when him he spied, spurring so hot with rage dispiteous, gone fairly couch his spear, and towards ride, soon meet they both, fell and furious, that daunted with their forces hideous, their steeds do stagger, and amazed stand, and eke themselves, too rudely rigorous, astonied with a stroke of their own hand o back rebut, and each to other yieldeth land. 16. As when two rams degrees stirred with ambitious pride, fight for the rule of the rich fleeced flock, their horned fronts so fierce on either side do meet, that with the terror of the shock astonied both, stand senseless as a block, forgetful of the hanging victory, degrees so stood these twain, unmoved as a rooka, both staring fierce, and holding idly the broken relics degrees of their former cruelty. 17. The Sarazine sword daunted with a buff snatcheth his sword, and fiercely to him flies, who all it wards, and queeteth cuff with cuff, each other's equal puissance envies, degree and through their iron sides degrees with cruel spies does seek to purse, repining courage yields no foot to foe. The flashing fear flies as from a forge out of their burning shields, and streams of purple blood new dyes the verdant field.